Calling all lovers of mystery and fans of a good story. If you haven't already heard me talk about June's journey, you're in for a treat. It's time to don your detective hat in this free hidden object mobile game that delves into the captivating journey of June Parker, a self-proclaimed detective on a quest to unravel the mystery surrounding her sister's untimely death. In June's journey, you get to play as June, deciphering clues and unveiling secret plots within thousands of beautifully illustrated scenes. And did I mention it's set in the glitzy 1920s? New chapters are added weekly, so you will never run out of new thrills to uncover, and you can also personalize and decorate your very own Orchid Island where the story takes place. How sharp are your detective skills? Find out when you download June's Journey on your Android or iOS device, or play online via Facebook Games. Your detective journey awaits.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care, and we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it, all while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
You ready? We're going to go straight in.
Here we go.
We've already started.
Tens.
This is actually the beginning that you've both just ruined.
No, don't start.
Welcome to IGN UK Podcast 382. Oh, I am Daniel Krupa and I am joined by
Alicia Judge
and
Rory Powers.
Oh, you look crestfallen.
Well, you pulled the curtain back on my pre-podcast
and you had it tucked between your legs like Buffalo Bill outside those lambs.
I was putting on lipstick.
Going, oh, hello, I'm ready to podcast.
I was doing the podcast tune in my head. Like, you know, I was like, oh, it's going to like whack in.
That's what Rory dances to, like that.
Pushing my boobs together, making kissy noises.
Talking to me down the well. I'm like, Rory, can I come up and podcast? You're like, you'll podcast when it's ready. Okay. We've got, this is probably the best podcast we've had.
It's a banger.
Like, I can see the running order from where I am. You don't know what's on it, but it is belting.
I haven't even seen the running order. I am winging this completely, but
I've seen stuff.
Daniel, I know it'll be great.
I am salivating, but that's a problem. I'm like I like a Newfoundland. I'm always just gobbing down the side of my front. Anyway, first thing we're going to talk about is a movie. Well, two things that are out this week. We're going to talk about Mindhorn first.
Yes.
Mindhorn. So this is a movie me and Powers have seen. It's out this Friday. I've seen it twice, actually. I like it so, so much.
Really?
It is the new Julian Barrett film.
Yeah.
Who is the guy who did The Mighty Boosh with Noah Fielding.
Yeah.
And I won't go into too much, but the simple premise is, in the 80s, he starred in a shit British TV show called Mindhorn, which was a cross between Bergerac, which is kind of a regional police detective drama, and The $6 Million Man. Richard Mindhorn was caught behind, I think, Serbian lines, and he had his eye removed and replaced by a robotic eye so he could literally see the truth. Now, this show was cancelled after two seasons on British TV, filmed entirely on the Isle of Man.
Of course.
And then years and years later, there's now a serial killer on the Isle of Man, and he will only speak to Detective Mindhorn. So, Julian Barrett's character...
He thinks it's real.
So, Julian Barrett, who's now a very down-on-his-luck, out-of-work actor, has to reprise the role. He's much fatter, much bolder, but he goes to the Isle of Man, gets back into the part to solve this mystery.
Yeah.
And there's a lot more to it than that. I just thought it was really funny.
It's so great. Because both of us were big fans of The Mighty Boosh.
Yes.
And Julian Barrett, just as a comedian. And it's very much, you can see that style kind of shining through in this movie. A lot of silliness, a lot of like DIY makeup and costume.
Yeah, you know, it's like DIY arts and crafts comedy, especially in the final act. It kind of goes full on bonkers. And I think in the last 20 minutes, and I've seen some, it's got generally good reviews, but I've seen some sniffy reviews that say the thing that happens at the end, I won't say, there's like this joke at the end, and they say it goes on for too long. I think that's just genius, that it lasts for at least 30 minutes.
Yeah.
And they're kind of just whacking it and drawing it out.
Because it's one of those jokes that, It's really funny when it happens and then you get used to it, and then there'll be a moment in the movie where you kind of like, you refresh your eyes and you just look at what's on screen and it's funny again, and that happens a couple times over and over.
That's cool.
I really liked it.
So
what's the balance between, because obviously, you know, there's a detective element to it of this serial killer on the loose. What's the balance between like intrigue and comedy?
I guess it reminds me quite a lot of Hot Fuzz.
Yes.
Oh, so cool. It's like in this provincial, I think we do this very well in Britain. We can't compete, like by and large, with American blockbusters, but we do very good blockbusters set in small, boring British places. And I'm saying like where I'm from is boring as well. Like we do very good quotidian action.
Yeah. Very, very self-aware. You know, you'd have like a big action scene, like music building, tension building, and they would like do a hard cut to just a sheep in a field. You know, that sort of very self-aware of the location.
I am really concerned now. I slagged off the Isle of Man, much like Richard Thorncroft does in the movie.
Oh,
I've
yeah.
I've provoked the man. You shouldn't do that. It's got a good balance. Like, I think for a long, like, because it's not based on a TV show or anything. Like, Partridge had to, like, do a slight siege movie, and then when it went to the big screen. This does better because it's, like, aping a format, but also it's got this human drama of this, like, guy trying to get back to the top again. Mm. There's a kind of love story. There's, like, a story about his rival who was on the original show, Windjammer, played by Steve Coogan.
Oh. Steve Coogan is almost a better name.
He's really successful now. But it's just a really funny movie, and I'm really happy to see Julian Barrett in something again, because he's kind of like done a lot less in comparison to Noel Fielding.
Yeah, Noel Fielding's everywhere.
And a lot of other British comedians. He's almost like by this time, but like there is something distinctly his comedy as well about it. Just his delivery, he's still very Julian Barrett, the way he calls people sir.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. My favourite line in the movie, it's in the trailer. It's just, it's so stupid. His agent goes to him, Richard, you've aged like a fine wine. And he goes, a man could get drunk on that wine. And it's just so dumb.
The way he goes, the way it's delivered.
But I would heartily recommend anyone listening goes, check it out.
I think so. If you like the money.
Yeah, have a few beers like we did.
Yeah.
And go with a bunch of mates. And I think you'll
have a couple beers.
I've seen a clip of it, which we posted on the IGN Facebook page, which was just him auditioning.
Yeah, with Kenneth Branagh.
With Kenneth Branagh, which was just brilliant. Mm. That's all I know of the movie.
Yeah, I actually wouldn't watch much more. Like, I know we've kind of outlined the premise, but because I usually don't watch trailers for comedies, because especially with like side guys, because you kind of blunt them a little bit, because there's some really good physical comedy in there as well. But yeah, I recommend Mindhorn.
It's really funny when I first heard about the premise, because there's an episode of Always Sunny in Philadelphia where two of the characters decide to write their own movie pitch to give to M. Night Shyamalan. And it's about a detective that can smell crime. It's essentially the exact same thing, played obviously by Dolph Lundgren.
Who else would you get?
He has like a giant nose.
You know, Dolph Lundgren's really intelligent. He has like a PhD in chemical engineering.
What?
Wow.
Seriously.
Really?
Yeah.
What?
Isn't that good? Well done, Dolph.
When you just look at that face, you wouldn't
Dr. Dolph.
Yeah, that's strange.
Dr. Dolph. The chemical Dolph. Whiz.
But then again, like, that's the perfect team. It's like, you know how in the apocalypse movies, you've got the scientist who knows the world's going to go to end.
And
then
you've got
no one listens to him. And then the hero comes along.
Yeah.
He's both. He's multiple.
You would listen to Dolph Lundgren, wouldn't you?
He's the Hovis best of both of the apocalypse.
If you don't, he'll just beat the shit out of you.
I've made the world's most toxic chemical. Yeah, right, Poindexter.
Yeah.
I'm taking it for military use. No, seriously, Dolph wouldn't let him take it.
Absolutely not. Throttle him. Unbelievable. Oh, so
that's why he's not in many films anymore.
Why?
There's no plot. It's just he's too smart and too strong.
I thought you were
going
to say the apocalypse.
There's no tension.
Newsflash while we've been in here.
Could do. I always wonder about that when we're in here.
It is a win-win.
At the end,
room.
We'll come out like Charlton Heston, Omega Man.
We've talked about this before on the podcast.
I love the Omega Man. We don't talk enough on this podcast about the Omega Man. That is great.
I did not know that you would be a big fan of the Omega Man.
It's a great film.
Do you know the Omega Man?
I don't know who the Omega Man is. This sounds like some sort of person who needs to eat vegetables as a kid.
It's an old movie. It's based on
I Am Legend.
It's based on, it's basically the first adaptation of, the novel was called
I Am Legend by Richard Matheson,
So they did an adaptation of the novel I Am Legend, which is basically Omega Man, which is like a similar plot.
But is it not vampires though? Is it just zombies in Omega
it's
Man?
It's not vampires.
Are they just like mutants?
They're like mutants because they have those eyes.
Because there's a Simpsons episode with, is it Mo or Homer? Where it's the Omega Man, and Homer, it's like in Treehouse of Horror where he wakes after. It's a similar thing. You're in a room and you come out and the apocalypse has happened and you're like,
Yeah, but he's like, because he's one of the only survivors, he's got his own cool mansion that he's built and he goes out during the day where they can't come out and grabs all the artifacts and things he wants.
I think it might actually be called the Omega Man. the Simpsons episode.
Do you think so? Oh, yeah, that
I'll check
sense.
On that later.
Well, we'll look it up.
But you know, actually, just because we're going on tangents here, have you seen the Will Smith I Am Legend movie?
Yes.
You know, in that, there was a big thing at the time made about how when he's walking through deserted New York, there's a poster for Batman v Superman.
Oh, yeah.
When that was just thought to be some kind of far-fetched, ludicrous
no way.
Thing that would never, ever happen in a million years.
Put that in a zombie apocalypse
yeah.
movie.
And when I saw Batman v Superman, I thought, yeah, this is the end of civilization.
They should have had an iron... They should have had an I Am Legend poster in Batman v Superman. Just
little,
for, just
little
for,
nod.
Like, what's that word?
Just super.
When there's a mirror. I've completely forgotten the word.
When there's a mirror?
Like, when there's a mirror. And you put a mirror next to like a line and then it creates the same thing. You did it in primary school?
Reflection.
Put half of,
what? I didn't have mirror lessons. I didn't go to Mighty Boosh school with the mirror man.
You were in the mirror realm.
The mirror realm.
The mirror
that
dimension.
Was my primary
where you,
school.
Where you got for third period? I was mirror realm.
Mr. Susan in the mirror dimension.
Have
yeah.
you brought your pumps?
Oh, I can't remember the word.
Make them shine.
That's what it is, though, guys. That's
mirrors.
The abstract concept.
It's mirrors.
How did we get onto that? So, something else that is out this week, Alicia.
Something else that's out this week is Prey. So, how much of Prey have you guys played?
I've played exactly zero.
Oh,
same, zero.
Zero Nada. Units.
Nada. So, the demo's been out this week. You can play the first hour. And Prey, basically, the concept is it's set in an alternate timeline. So, in this timeline, John F. Kennedy wasn't assassinated. And he spends the remainder of his presidency working with Russia and putting millions and millions of dollars into the space program. So he completely accelerates the process of mankind exploring our galaxy.
He always had a big hard-on for the moon. Like,
did he?
Yeah, he's like one of his big early speeches before becoming president, maybe short after, was like, we'll go to the moon. That's one of the big promises he like ran on. Like, by the end of my presidency, we will land on the moon.
Which,
and I think it was like, what would it have been? It would have been 7 years after he was killed, I think, that they landed on the moon.
Wow.
That's insane.
But the stuff that he put into motion was what got
you,
the Apollo missions there.
If I was president, put it all into space. Put it all into space money.
Well, yeah. I mean...
Military budget.
Space money.
Space money.
It's like regular money, more fun. You get space. Yeah. Sorry, we don't accept space money.
Space bugs.
Space money and a three-day weekend. I feel like a three-day weekend would be a solid...
In space, though.
In
right?
space. With
yeah,
one
okay.
of those days.
Now you're speaking my language. You know how to butt up the president. Yeah.
But it's probably a good thing that that never did happen because in this whole timeline, it all goes a bit wrong. So they find a satellite, and the satellite is full of these spidery, weird alien creatures who proceed to kill everyone on this mission into space. And what does the government do? What do the scientists do? They build a massive space station around this satellite and say, let's harness
these
abilities for weapons.
Dolph wasn't there.
Yeah, Dolph would have
shut
that down.
He would shut that shit down. Yeah. No, it is a bad idea.
I could smell the
Not
crime. Should have go up there. That is
yeah, a really
idea.
Bad idea.
So
really
they build
bad
a whole
idea.
Station around it.
So they build so this whole
who
station.
Are you, who are you in all of this?
So you are Morgan Yu. Get see what they did there?
Morgan
see
me?
There? Morgan Yu. Why you? Morgan Yu.
Oh, I thought it was Morgan Rory Powers.
No.
I was like, that's weird.
That's a terrible name. Really I mean, bad. Rory Powers is a brilliant name.
Oh, I didn't know what you were going there. Like, I think Rory Powers is bad enough.
It was a look on your
Morgan,
face as I said that,
Morgan
Rory.
Was almost
like,
a saving grace for Rory Powers.
But you play as Morgan Yu, who, without, you know, I don't want to give too much away, but you are working with the Transtar Corporation, and Transtar Corporation are the people who run this research and development facility, which is examining this alien species and trying to
Bloody
harness their abilities.
Mate.
Mm-hmm. And so,
shit.
Without giving too much away, as always with this kind of thing, it all goes a bit wrong, and it essentially
I think what I said in the tech report was tits up.
Tits up.
Yeah,
that's what you
goes,
say.
Goes very, very much tits up.
Nats is getting that. Yeah, it's gone tits up.
But it's
Dolph just going. Yeah, I knew it would.
Yeah, tits everywhere.
What did I tell you? Hold up a photograph of him saying tits up with a newspaper of like 2 years ago.
He like passive, I called it. He goes to the toilets and passive aggressively forwards that email around he sent 2 months ago.
Yeah.
I told you.
Just refreshing this feed. The tits up
bump.
CC shit creek.
It's funny you should say that though, because there are a lot of emails that you can read around the space station, get super passive.
Ever read stuff like that in video games? Do you?
I love that kind of stuff.
It depends how it's done. So when you can like pick up books and read diary entries and stuff.
Yeah.
I sometimes fall off the interest on that scale. Oh, that's interesting. But there's some more clever ones. I prefer like audio logs because I can continue like teabagging while I'm listening to the
audio.
Also,
there's performance behind that. And also, if they've gone to the... Usually, if they've gone to the trouble of recording a voiceover for it, it's probably more important than something they've hidden on a computer behind a door that's the third email down. That feels way more optional than an, like, 20 audio logs in Bioshock. It's like, that's probably quite important. Or like the 20 memories in Zelda or whatever.
Yeah.
Or
12 or whatever. I came to play a game. I didn't come to read a book, you know? So don't try and hide your books
don't
in
try
my games.
And, you know, like if you were a kid and someone was like trying to feed you like something really
books.
Nice. But when they're trying to feed you books in mirror class.
Mirror
and
class.
You just be really, really confused.
And, like, and you said no and then time dissolved into a flat circle.
Yeah. It's like, you were like the bit of Doctor Strange.
Or when I was younger, my parents tricked me into learning by making me play Maths Blaster, which is like a game.
Maths Blaster.
It's like a game where you're a spaceman
you
and your
maths.
Friends, and you have to adventure through all these different levels. But it dawned on me very quickly, you're just solving equations, and it's like, oh, what's 7 + 8? Jump to the right platform. You know, it's like tricking
what's
you.
What's
quite
good about that is like a lot of astronauts would be very good at maths.
Yeah.
So it's quite realistic.
Yeah.
Should have stuck with it.
Yeah,
me and Dolph could have been floating about.
But I mean, in Prey, when you are wandering around and getting these fragments of these stories, I do think it works because I completely agree with you. When you play like the massive RPGs and you find like the history of the realm and you know, put that in
when you find history of the realm, volume one.
Volume one, yeah.
Written by the peasant.
Is it?
Like, literally, I'm not going to read that.
Open the door, lob that in the street. It's my house now.
But in Prey, the way that you read things is really... It's actually genuinely well done. So there's these terminals, and rather than, you know how normally when you read something in a game, it brings up like a second screen that fills your entire vision, then you scroll through it and it's just like a menu screen.
Yes.
With this, it's literally like in real life, you're reading on the screen, so you walk up to it and approach, and then you're like using it as a complete, your viewpoint doesn't change. You're still looking...
Does that not
like
make it very small?
No, the way they do it, like the screens are massive in the game. It's very big, futuristic terminals.
Gotcha.
And then you read these emails. So one of them, I was in there was like a psychologist lab, and it was talking about one particular scientist in particular and all of her worries and fears about the program. And then I moved on further into the level and I found one of the enemies that you get is one of the aliens. They take over the corpses of humans. And then when you're fighting that corpse, the name of the human that they used to be is kind of above their head. And it was her name. And so it's just like little things like that where there's like narratives
payoffs.
That you absolutely... Yeah, exactly. Little payoffs that you wouldn't have got if you hadn't have read those emails. Which I find really, really satisfying. And for me, it makes the world a lot richer, and Prey's full of that because it's made by Arkane and they did exactly that in Dishonored, littered the world.
Hey, Dan, lore master. That's exactly what you love. That's like some Dark Souls stuff going on right there.
Yeah.
Read a description of an item, then you find a person like 2 hours later.
Do you,
you think
I go around my house?
Your-
So wipe off spray after fight. Oh, Mr. Muscle
what is
Lore.
That?
Like Demesos, do you not give to a child? Oh, interesting.
Made in China.
Wonder what the inference we can take away from that is. Maybe Bleach was the first flame of the kit.
I assume your house has a lot of candles.
A lot of candles?
Yeah, like very like
gothic.
I'm not
a 6-year-old like hippie.
When we were in Disneyland together riding the Haunted Mansion, you told me that this is your dream house.
My dream house would be the Haunted Mansion. Do you see I got a lot of Haunted Mansion stuff for my birthday? I got a book about the history of the Haunted Mansion across all the Disney parks. It's really interesting because the one in Paris is actually much more violent. Also, sorry.
No, this is amazing.
So in Paris, I think it was last year.
Beat the shit out of you.
It's much darker and dilapidated. Walt Disney was very against the dilapidated Haunted Mansion. He thinks it should look proper from the outside so it hides the surprise from the inside.
Yeah.
So you go into the Haunted Mansion. The one in Paris, they found out a guy who's an electrician. It's actually haunted. Well, it might be now.
Oh, God, what did you say?
There was a guy who was fixing the ride in the one in Paris. And he was an electrician. He got electrocuted. He fixed it, but he got electrocuted. He died behind the scenes, and he wasn't found for a few days. So people were riding the ride, and there's this dead body in there.
Oh, man.
How did they not notice that Gary the electrician hadn't come back from
Gaston.
Fixing the...
Not Gary.
Gaston.
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 Where's Gassy?
That'd be the worst if he like died against one of the animatronics.
He's popping up all the time.
Like Five Nights at Freddy's.
Yeah, it's a bit darker than the one in Florida.
Yeah. Also, there's a haunted mansion at the one in Hong Kong Disney, but it's called the Mystic Mansion.
Because
of Chinese kind of superstition, they don't really go in for like ghosts and stuff. So it's more like, I think it's more fantasy themed than horror themed.
That's cool. That's really cool. For instance,
in China, I think the number four also means death. It's also the word for death or something.
Imagine that.
You can't give four.
One, two, three, death.
Yeah.
Like you're a kid counting.
Do we have that? Like lucky number seven, yeah. I guess.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
13, I guess. Yeah. 666.
Well, a lot of places in America don't have a 13th floor. Like they do, obviously, literally. Yeah. But don't in lifts. They take away the number 13.
Can you imagine that discussion with the like executive of the building? We're going to take away the 13th floor. Just cut it out. Drop it down.
After building it.
David. Now 14's 13. What?
Well,
cut it out then. Now you see 15's.
People who work on the 14th floor are going, you know this 13th one. Right? Yeah. We're the first for it.
That's like the curses rise. It's like heat. So
stop building, it's the next floor. Stop it, America. Stop building skyscrapers if you don't want 13 floors. Do 12. It like we do it. Small houses.
Yeah.
Showing off. How do we get onto this again?
Prey looks great.
Prey looks great.
You know, I didn't get a chance to play the demo.
In Prey.
That was amazing.
It looks like a game that has very fun weapons, interesting weapons, which I really enjoy.
So one of the criticisms, which I can see from people who've played the demo, is that they find combat, the pace of it almost pauses slightly because you guys have played Dishonored and stuff, haven't you? So you know how you'll often be in the middle of combat and then you want to switch to your next power, so you bring up the radial wheel.
Right.
And combat kind of pauses and then you go into the next thing. I think a lot of people haven't been enjoying that aspect of it with Prey because obviously it's the same developer, so they've kind of lifted that
system. It's not exactly the same developer. It's like a different studio. It's Arkane, but it's a different location, isn't it?
Is it? I didn't know there's a
space. There's like an Arkane in France and there's an Arkane somewhere else. I'll check that out.
I know that Raphael Colantonio is the director on it. So
that's
whichever one, I know, isn't it? It's so much fun to say Raphael Colantonio. But
Got the same name, like they definitely have the same like ethos.
But I think one of the ways around it is you can map your favorite weapons to the D-pad. So they've got this weapon called the glue gun, which is amazing, where you just fire basically like plaster that immediately hardens the minute that it hits either a surface or an enemy. So you can use it to build walls and platforms to reach places in the world.
Gotcha.
Or you can use it against an alien. And you could kind of go from a glue gun to stop this mimic flying at your face and then immediately switch to a shotgun or your kinetic blast ability and like blast it backwards.
Yeah.
And you can just do that by flicking the D-pad. So it's really quick and rapid and it doesn't change the pace of combat.
Instead of having to use the weapon
wheel. I've not had an issue with the controls from what I've played and I've, you know, got to the point where I've unlocked powers and have been playing around more with the actual, you know, getting to the nitty gritty aspect of what Prey is, which is essentially that Bioshock idea of you've got these powers at your disposal and you're going through this quite weird, freakish environment that you're not really sure what's around every corner. And I've enjoyed it. It doesn't completely break new ground from what I've played so far. It's kind of one of those things, if you really enjoyed those games and you want more of those games in that vein, it's fun to play, but it's not going to be a revolutionary new experience like Bioshock was. It's kind of just more of the same but done well.
Nice. And that's also out today when the podcast comes out. So
you
do Mindhunt and Prey this week.
Oh man, wow. You're gonna have a great
what a
time
week.
Lucky you, eh? Right, so time. The next thing we're going on to is, well, this is not on the official running order, but found out you've both seen Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah, we are. Yeah.
I think, because it's only been out a week in the UK and it's not out in America yet, we should probably not do spoilers as such.
That's fine. But, that is okay.
Do you want to talk about what you guys thought?
Yeah.
You were less keen on it. You like texted me over the weekend going,
I really want... And the further I get away from it as well, like,
really?
It's just...
Really? Yeah. I've seen it twice now, and I liked it even more the second time.
It's just so... I don't know. There's a lot of the jokes that fell flat. Like, I feel like the comedy's gotten more childish, And I was kind of watching it, and there's a lot of jokes that just went right by me, and I'm just like, yep. The people get split up in this one. Some characters, without being specific, I feel like are made to be an asshole just so they can have an arc. But then it just meant the whole movie. I was like, you're a dick now. Like, why are you so weird? And like, you just don't fit into this universe at all. I felt like the first one was this story that stumbled from like scene to scene to scene really well. And then like a group kind of became friends and it had a big conclusion. It was a very tight, neat, funny story. And I feel like this one tries to do something different. I think it succeeds in some areas, but a lot of it is people in different locations, jokes that I didn't think were that funny, a middle section that I thought was kind of boring, and then a conclusion that, like, there's threats in that movie that don't need to be threats for any reason.
I guess it's really hard to have this conversation. Maybe we should do this again, like, in a month.
Maybe.
Where we can actually talk in specifics. It's really hard because you're kind of blunting some of your points by not being able to give examples.
Yeah.
And I can't counter without saying shit as well.
Just beep it. We'll just have the whole conversation.
Probably should tell me why it wasn't on the original running order, wasn't it? Sorry, everyone.
Before we started, I said we should have this whole conversation as I Am Groot. And I'm just throwing that idea.
Well, tell me what you think of the film.
I Am Groot.
Oh, I can't believe you spoiled the end of the movie. Fucking hell, Alicia. Outrageous. Right, should we just talk about something we can talk about?
We'll talk about something we can talk about.
Powers, this is probably one for you. Breath of the Wild DLC.
Breath of the Wild DLC. Detailed. How exciting, guys. Legend of Zelda series is finally getting its first ever DLC.
I guess it is, isn't it? It's like a proper downloadable.
Yeah,
Master Quest is a little bit on Ocarina.
Yeah, but I guess this is like a new edition of downloadable
content. Yeah, so can you go through? Because it's a few different things rather than just like, here's a bit of a new story.
Symmetry was the word from earlier. With the mirror.
Scared the shit
so
out of me.
You know what?
I thought it happened. I thought death had come then. Because I thought you looked me in the eye and shouted the word symmetry. And I thought, is this what death is? Is this what happens in the moment before death? Somebody finds you and shouts a word in your face.
It's a random word. It's like the power word. Yeah, symmetry, guys.
I thought you're part of a cult.
Then raises the pitchfork.
Somebody going to decapitate me with a mirror.
That was very Omega Man.
That would be a way to go.
Symmetry. Why are you pointing from up a hill shouting symmetry?
Night has fallen.
Anyway.
Turn.
Anyway, continue.
Breath of the Wild powers.
They're bringing lots of cool stuff. It's as you said, it's not just like a new story.
So one of the major things is you can go into like this new big trial.
Yeah.
Where there's a really popular thing that's kind of been a real hit that a lot of people who've played Zelda got really into this thing where you go to this island called Eventide Island. And when you go there, it cuts to black and mysteriously you get all your equipment taken away from you. And it's like a survival challenge where you have to, everything you've learned through the course of the game, you have to implement on this island. So you have to forage, scavenge.
You're essentially shipwrecked.
You're shipwrecked. Really cool. And you have to like kill all these guys and solve some puzzles, but you're back to basics.
It's so
like Castaway, yeah.
Yeah.
And they've kind of implemented this idea in this new big trial where you start with nothing and you've got successfully beat lots of enemies.
Yeah, I think it's clear out of the enemies, they said something like 46 different trials, like within the compound. And then you get a cool prize, which is kind of spoilery, so I don't want to say it. But it's like a power-up that you get after you complete.
Yeah, I think it is a little bit of a spoiler.
Yeah.
Well, it tells you about something that you might not know about.
But there's some other cool stuff as well. There's a travel talisman, which means you can drop it on the map and fast-track to that point, so you don't have to go to a shrine and then go to a location.
Oh, that's so useful.
You basically have like a fast travel point that you can drop down. There's a step tracker, which will track 200 hours worth.
It's a Fitbit.
Essentially, yeah. But it just means, because I have this with Breath of the Wild all the time, where I'm like, I can't actually remember which mountains I've been to. And I think I've seen it all now, but I can't be sure if I've missed a little lane
something. That's the thing.
And this basically, if you turn it on, I guess you can track, you can see like your movements for the last 200 hours of gameplay, which is great if you're looking to 100% complete the map. We got some masks and some
new
skins.
Masks.
We got Majora's mask.
Hello.
Majora's mask in there.
Korok mask.
We got the Korok mask, which will help you find seeds. We got Midna's weird stone helmet thing. It's, you know, that's a risky thing doing DLC for Zelda. And I think when that was announced and, season pass, the dirty word was kind of thrown in there. But I think this is done quite well.
This could be more like, because I finished the game, no spoilers. The end of the game sets something up that I was expecting this DLC to be. I think there's going to be more DLC down the line, I think.
Yeah, so they said there's going to be story DLC.
So that's what I was expecting this to be. But it makes sense for that to be a bit further, because I think loads of people still haven't finished the main game still. People are taking their time with it. But I'm really excited about what that could be.
Yeah.
But I think this is a nice range of, like, just cool additional stuff, nice added features, and I'm excited to do the trial thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's like a bigger version of my favorite thing in the game, almost.
And we've all, like, most of us in this office are kind of at the end game now.
Gav's never going to finish that game.
He's never going to finish
it. No. He gets too distracted. He gets distracted and he'll never do it.
I've still not played it, but I'm going to play it with a friend, and it's the first, like, big scale game that gonna play with someone else. I'm really intrigued on how it's gonna work out.
How often are you gonna play it?
Like, I guess, like,
you're not doing the split up controller thing.
We should.
No, that's thousand hours.
Oh my god, we should.
No.
No, yes.
I absolutely would not. There's no way I would play that game with anyone.
I think I'm totally gonna give that a go, because we'll give it a go and we'll see how it works. We'll probably end up controller swapping.
So how were you originally planning on doing it? Just playing
through it. Like, wow. See,
that's a big,
like,
old game to play.
It's a really
with
big
another
game.
Person.
That's the thing.
I wouldn't be able to do that. I started, and if that other person was there, I'd
be
like,
I'm
going to keep on playing.
We're playing that game in the specific way of us playing by ourselves. If you're playing with a friend and you were like, let's power through it, beast, boom, 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 done. Couple shrines, boom, boom, boom.
Yeah, but then I almost feel like with that, like, I think you'd have a jolly good time playing it like that, but I think you would miss what's unique and special about that game, which is free wandering. Like, it's the best open world I've ever played, bar none, because it, instead of being a map full of mission markers and stuff, it's a map that looks like a map of a place. And you go, oh, what's over there? Because that kind of looks interesting.
Yeah.
And you go over and you explore, you go, oh, fucking, this cool thing here. And you go, oh, what's over that hill? And then I've played for like 12-hour shifts. Just doing that.
Shifts.
Just like going.
The other guy clocked off.
Shit, it's like 12 hours.
I had to leave the wife and
12
kids
hours. And I've done like, loads of stuff, but I've done nothing in a sense.
Yeah.
And I think if you just power through it, you would miss what's beautiful about that
but
game.
That's, do you guys ever do this when you're playing like a massive game and say your housemates or something come in and like are watching you play or like someone's just in the room with you while you're playing? And sometimes I feel really
prepare
bad.
To try.
Because yeah. like, well, but like, yeah, yeah. But like, while I'm the sort of person who, as I said before, I really enjoy going and like reading people's emails in game and like going around like every corner of a level. I really want to look for secrets. Like, I'll often look for collectibles as I'm going through. And if there's like someone else there, I'll feel really bad because I feel like I need to like entertain them somehow with what's on
that's
screen.
Why I think that's tricky, because like playing that game is brilliant because you're just walking along and you feel like you're outside. Like the term they use for it is like an open air game.
Yeah.
So you're out in the elements and it's beautiful. Like, I think on looking, you just go, oh, it's still beautiful, but you're not getting that immediate satisfaction of the one exploring. So it'd be very easy for them to lose interest, I think.
Yeah.
What you're saying is a lot like prepare to try, because obviously when I'm playing Dark Souls, if it was my own time, obviously I'd want to take it slow. Mm. I'd want to have my shield up. I'd want to be parrying, reading all the lore.
Yeah.
But, you know, we don't have a lot of time, so I just got to get in there. No shield, no parrying.
Gav's on Tinder.
Gav's on Tinder. Dan's stressing through his notes, you know, so I just got to keep him entertained. It's a tough job.
You've got a really tough job, Rory.
It's a tough job, but yeah, someone's got to do it. Someone's got to take those hits.
I think you will like in Breath of the Wild that I liked, but
the
I
dogs.
Felt very cheeky about it. I felt quite... Dogs.
Dogs.
I know what you really like, dogs.
Symmetry. There's a lot of symmetry in it.
Say what?
Oh, you know what you'd like? Wind Waker, Mirror Shield. Powers just spat out his water into his eye. He loves a good Zelda guy.
How did that even happen? Like, physically?
That bottle's weird.
I spat forward and it bounced in my eye.
You're in the mirror realm.
Like, yeah,
oh, God. That bottle
You're
is
in the
terrible.
Reflection realm.
Oh, that
so, what I liked in Breath of the Wild, although I felt very naughty about doing it, is when, like, get to Castle Hyrule, reading Zelda's diary.
You can do that?
Does that feel wrong?
Well, it feels a bit wrong, doesn't it? Reading anyone's diary. I think that's unanimously considered quite an invasion.
So that diary in your drawer under the desk.
Don't read that.
This was really interesting.
Right, not swastikas. It's an ancient Buddhist symbol, right?
It had meaning before the Nazis.
No, no, I mean...
appropriated it. And now I can't use it, can I not?
No, in-game, I think it's interesting to read.
Yeah,
stuff.
But I feel... Because, you know, it's a bit naughty. Because it's in her bedroom.
Plus, also, there's a character that you meet earlier on in the game who essentially tells you, don't read my diary. And you can go upstairs and read her diary. Yeah, and then if you talk to her after that, she gets really pissed off. And she's like, you read it, didn't you? And
that's
you get punished
fucked up morality, though. You only don't do something if someone tells you not to do it.
Yeah.
Zelda doesn't tell me not to read a diary, but like I've got to look her in the eye at the end and go... Because I'm reading it. Going, what's she saying about
Link's got a cute bum.
What's he saying? Page 48. Still hates me.
Ganon's a bit of a dick,
oh,
isn't
yeah.
he?
Oh, yeah. Link is the best. Yeah. Oh, yeah. My dad loves him, he does. Giving him the Master Sword and everything. But yeah, that's quite naughty, reading her diary.
I'm probably still going to do it.
Yeah, you should. It's really good.
It's brilliant.
Yeah, you should, mate. It's wicked. There's a little picture at the back. Get in. It's not even locked or anything.
When I was rookie error.
My sister had
around it, at least yeah. for me.
My sister, when she was younger, had this diary that had like a voice activated lock.
Whoa.
So you had like a password, and you had to say it, like replicate it, and then it would like unlock the diary. But then me and my brother just spent like afternoons trying to do impressions of her to like crack the diary. And he did it once. He got it.
No way.
Yeah, the password was star.
And then did you read the diary once you'd unlocked it? Or were you just in this moment of...
I don't remember reading it. I think it was just the achievement.
Can you give me your best Hannah star impression?
Yeah, it was something like... Star.
That's unlocked now like in that. America. That's just
diaries across the United States.
secrets
pouring.
It's like Pandora's flying. Box.
She's at work. She. Oh, what? It's out.
I've like activated a sleeper cell. Just
the secrets are out, Hannah.
So Breath of the Wild DLC is going to be banging. Can't wait.
Yeah, that's what Aonuma said. He said banging. Right, the final thing we've got here is this weird curiosity thing called Code Vein.
Oh, yeah.
Now,
I've heard about
this. I had to put this on.
Yeah,
really
so do you want to like do the skinny on this?
Yeah, absolutely. So Code Vein is a new game coming up from Bandai Namco. And while it's not from Software, the company that developed Dark Souls, they're very much pitching it as that. Like so much so that you said like the slogan was prepare to die.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is a bit cheeky, but obviously that's what they're trying to do. It's very much a Bandai Namco style game, very anime, kind of bubbly, cartoony, but it does look very Dark Souls and like enough on that side of the spectrum that I'm actually quite into it. The bosses look cool, the weapons look cool. It's got like that animated finish, but I don't know. I think it looks really great, actually. Like. I'm a bit annoyed that obviously they're trying to like piggyback off of Dark Souls.
I think I've seen several outlets refer to it as from Dark Souls publisher.
Yeah.
Now, while factually correct, I almost think it's a bit like misleading because a publisher, you know, Namco have positioned that game, published it and, you know, done some good things with it. You know, they probably came up with the prepare to die slogan originally, not From. But they've been really, you know, From made that game. And, you know, Namco, like all publishers, this is a Namco specific thing, publish such a wide variety of games. And there's some publishers that don't even make their own games. They don't have internal studios. Bethesda do, for instance. EA do, for instance. Like, I can understand purely from an advertising way, but it does feel a little bit misleading.
Yeah.
And for like some outlets have been running it under that headline rather than going, this is just a new game.
I think that's a greater level of involvement.
Yeah, that's...
It's almost like you're trying to go, oh, people who made Dark Souls made this.
Yeah.
Ah, well... Because, you know, a lot of people will take that away. Because a lot of people who don't maybe know the difference between developer and publisher as terms will go, Dark Souls publisher.
Yeah.
Definitely.
That's the same.
The makers.
Yeah.
These are the guys.
Yeah, you could see you're just the same.
I guess that's like, that's the fault of both of those sides. Like, it's Bandai Namco for doing it, but then also outlets, they'll know, like, that article or it's going to get more attention if you say Dark Souls anime game or like
Absolutely.
Dark Souls
It's created. A calculated step.
Exactly. But it's, what do you guys think? Have you, like, seen any,
so
like...
So, correct me if I'm wrong. Is the storyline of this that it's in a world, kind of like a fallen world, a fallen earth, where... Everyone's been infected by a disease that essentially turns people into vampires.
And so it's I Am Legend.
It's basically I Am Legend.
Time is a flat circle.
It feels everyone's saying anime Dark Souls feels anime Bloodborne-y because you've got that like element of like people turning into beasts and needing to like feed and blood exactly a bit more along like that side narratively.
So there are, you're playing as a vampire in this, but there are humans still living in this world, right? And they're the ones that you have to...
I don't know if you're playing as a vampire. Maybe you are. You're playing as some sort of half-human,
half-human, supernatural
being.
Yeah,
supernatural
creature.
That's
definitely you've got, like, the twist at the end. Oh, who's the real vampire?
We were all vampires.
The real monster vampires here.
We're the Walking Dead.
We are Groot.
Oh, maybe Bruce Wayne is the disguise. Whoa!
I think if the gameplay is good... I'm in. I like anime. I like very difficult Dark Souls games. So if they can find a way to marry those
now,
two things.
You've come full circle, mate.
Yeah. Ooh. Hey. You know I love it.
I know you do.
Bit of the Bloodborne. Bloodborne's hard as tits.
I was really excited from the first trailer because the introductory announcement trailer, before we'd seen any gameplay, was this gorgeous hand-drawn kind of sketchy style of this kind of like weird vampire-y world. And I looked at that. I was like, I would play a game in that art style of this person running across the rooftop with this sketchy burning sun like over her head. And then like the actual thing is like it's gorgeous modern graphics, and I was a bit like, oh, okay, that's fine. We can
that's
still
not,
do that.
That's not,
but it doesn't sound
not
like it's fine.
Good.
Doesn't sound like it's fine.
Is that a tear in your?
What does it look like? A sketch.
Yeah, I'm excited to see more. 2018, that game's coming out.
2018.
Yeah, which is a bit early for like.
Oh, that's a big old announcement, isn't it?
Maybe they'll do some like stuff, some demos, some. Like,
do some
E3
stuff. I'll put out a screenshot. Put a screenshot out in November, shall we?
Should we do some stuff, boys?
Let's shut down production on the game to work on that screenshot for a bit. Tell them 2018.
Imagine in the meeting room, they're like, "All right. So we've done Prepare to Die. That was our ace in the hole. Who else has got anything?"
Yeah, that's where it starts from.
Dark.
Prepare to Try.
Goal.
Shit.
Goal.
Prepare to Try. Can't, I'm afraid. We have the trademark on that. So jog on.
We actually have the trademark.
Yeah, that's been copyrighted.
What, we've got a trademark Prepare to Try?
It's been copyrighted.
No way.
We're not going anywhere, baby.
Somebody in America spent a lot of money to copyright it. Yeah. So
you got to protect the boys.
So if I see any of that out there on YouTube... You'll be hearing from me. Well, not from me. I was in New York.
Also, Gav's face was copyrighted.
Yeah, he can never shave.
We asked. He said, "Do you want ours?" They were like, "Nah, you're all right."
Image rights. Yeah, he can't because we've got 20,000 Gav dolls on order from China.
Yeah,
you pull a string in his back, and it says, "Get your rat out."
You joke,
imagining that fall into the hands of a child.
Yeah,
yeah.
It's gone sentient. He's saying it all the time now. excellent. So that's Code Vein. That's all the main talking points for this week. So let's do some feedback.
Feedback.
Who should go first, Powers?
I didn't label them, so...
What do you think?
Should we do rock, paper, scissors? Amazingly visual way to decide. On
Can do. 3, 2, 1.
Oh, shit.
Paper, beat, rock,
Alicia goes
paper.
First.
I'll go, yeah!
Alicia won everyone.
This is from Levon Young, who says, "Greetings. I was in my local retailer holding a Nintendo Switch ready to make a purchase. But then it occurred to me, when does Nintendo ever listen to fans? I don't know what your NES Classic situation was like in the UK, but in the USA, it was terrible. So I didn't buy the Switch because it doesn't have Netflix or YouTube currently. Crazy, but knowing Nintendo, there's a chance we will never get those apps. Having those apps isn't exactly alchemy and just goes to show that Nintendo does what it wants. For posterity's sake, can you put a date on those apps or an app store? I refuse to buy one until it gets apps. Love the show. Hate Nintendo. Play ice hockey. Levon."
Hello, Levon.
I just like that one because we don't have a lot of people being like, "I hate Nintendo."
They have said those apps are coming.
Yeah.
Well, they are in development. I think Reggie said that before it came out. They're not there at launch. But like... I have Netflix on about 7 things, but what I would say, like, so that's a sweeping statement. Like, they've made a very focused, very unique gaming console that does lots of other stuff that other things don't do.
Mm-hmm.
Like, to be able to play a proper console game out on the move is amazing. At no point when I'm out there do I think I wish I was watching Netflix right now, because I could do that on my phone.
Yeah,
I have another device right there with me that does that thing. I know it makes it seem a little bit out of step because it's just just think of everything that comes out now. Everything just has Netflix.
Yeah.
From Roku sticks to new TVs to Amazon Fire sticks. Like, it's just on everything, every console. So it does feel weird that it doesn't have a thing. It feels like something's been taken away.
Mm.
I think Netflix would work slightly better on Switch, having said that, slightly because if you're watching a thing on your Switch, on your TV, and you do something in the settings, it could download that episode so you could take it out of its dock and you could keep watching it on the move
That'd
at that
amazing.
Point. So you could have one device that is that more seamless experience rather than going, oh, I'm really enjoying watching this on my TV. I must remember to download it on my phone.
Yeah.
So it could have a unique Netflix experience to it. But like other stuff like YouTube and all that other stuff, I have those apps on so many things and yeah. I don't use it.
I think it's kind of a weird hang-up for me to understand, because if that's the reason you want to get a Switch to watch like Netflix and YouTube on the go, because as you said, if I'm on the train, I'm not hung up about not being able to watch Netflix because I want to be playing Breath of the Wild on my Switch. Yeah. I know I wouldn't.
I think it's that mentality thing, because they're so ubiquitous, those things. It feels like the Switch is impoverished. Like, it feels like it didn't have these things.
Right.
Like, it feels like stuff's been taken away or it's a lesser proposition.
Yeah.
Rather than going, but it does this stuff.
It's like when you get a new phone and it comes with like all the essential apps. And it's like,
I don't need any. Like, there's apps on my phone that I don't delete. And it's like, I don't know if when I ever used it. I've never used that app. I should delete it.
Do you have like a really useless
stocks.
App?
You can delete that now. I still don't.
You can delete stocks.
Yeah, you can like some of the core Apple apps, they now let you delete them.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
I reckon I've got some real
Rory's now immediately going through to try and delete it.
Weather, don't need that.
WeChat, I don't even know what that is. Ridiculous.
Is this a good feature?
Yeah, just me going through some.
He's swiping everyone. It's not even on.
Still got Flappy Bird. I don't know
get
if I
Get rid of
ever
that. Get rid of it.
No, because oh, really it's like good, an artifact.
It's it's making a comeback. So me and China's got a new high score. It's making a comeback.
There was
Shut
a point.
Up.
There was a point when didn't he delete it? He said he wasn't like, he pulled it off the App Store or something. And then
that's why
people were selling phones
it.
For like loaded with Flappy Bird
honestly,
for ridiculous
grow up. Grow up, people. Do other stuff.
It was an insane amount of money people were like asking for.
Like people doing that thousands. With PT as well, because if you delete PT, you can't get it back now. It's a game that kind of doesn't exist.
Right, gotcha. I still haven't played PT.
So, yeah, I appreciate Levon's point. Like, I do think those things are coming. But I think right now, I've had a Switch since it came out, and I think it's one of the most unique gaming experiences I've had. Like, being able to play Zelda in bed, on the tube, then on the big TV, it's been brilliant.
Yeah,
such
been,
a good experience.
I think it's like my favorite console I've had in since like my Nintendo 64.
Yeah, I'm just like, looking forward to it. More stuff rolling out for it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, actually, we didn't mention that, but this rumor about Ubisoft making a Mario game. You seen this?
Oh, it's
the
RPG
one
as
with
well?
Rabbits.
What?
So it's like it's like an RPG comedy game. It's been leaked. It looks kind of authentic.
Okay.
So they're co-developing it. So it's I think it's like. Like the main Mario character, Mario, Luigi, Peach, probably Toad or something. And then four rabbits that are all dressed as those characters. And it's kind of like a light RPG, I think. It sounds cool.
Yeah.
Like anything on Switch, I'll probably give it a go.
Yeah, definitely.
Because there's not that many games yet. But the games are. More about Switch. This is from Miguel. A warm hello from your Brazilian friend from Boston.
Hello.
A Brazilian in Boston. Hope you all have recovered well after those 24 hours of playing Mario Kart. So if people don't know, we played Mario Kart for 24 hours. I think we mentioned it on last week's show or the week before.
It was really fun.
So if you haven't watched that video, you should go watch it on YouTube. Type IGN 24 Mario Kart. I'll probably do it.
Yeah, probably.
Jobs are good. I recently watched your video, 24-hour Mario Kart, and thought it was amazing that by the end of the run, you guys hadn't killed each other. Lol. I have a question. If given the chance to go for another 24 hours, would you guys do it, and what game would you pick? Does he mean like a continuous 24 hours or like a separate 24 hours? Because I don't know if I could have done another
24 hours. No, he's saying like I would definitely do it.
I could easily do it.
I think you and me handled it
way better.
Way better than Joe and Gav.
Yes, I think I was all right. Like, I'm not going to say I was fine because that would be bullshit. I felt drunk and tired.
Yeah.
But I could have definitely stayed up for a bit more. And I could have done it again.
I went to the gym afterwards.
What?
Yeah. It was really not a good idea.
Oh, man. Oh, showing off.
Joe I fell asleep was, on the
like,
tube.
Joe was like falling apart at the because he wasn't even talking.
No, yeah.
Oh, really? Because he was really. So I only saw it from the perspective of like outside coming in the morning when you guys had been up for like the whole night.
Mm. Yeah.
Joe was quite chatty when he came out, but maybe that's the thing. He was spending his energy carelessly.
He weren't in here,
you guys
mate.
Were like, you were like in the zone, and then.
Also, if you look back at that footage, there's a lot of. I know because Dale's. I know understand how editing works. There's a lot of footage of you and me very smiley.
Yeah.
Like playing. Because the Gavin Judge. Mario Kart, is it?
It would like. Well, Joe was good for like the middle section of it, but there'd be lots of times where we'd be like, me and Dan would finish a race, like battling for first and second, and then a good like 30 seconds afterwards, we're then like, Gav and Joe would come in and just be like,
yeah. It's good. Let's do the next one.
Yeah. Did you? Was there a point, you know, 8, 9, 10 hours in, where you're just loading up your next Mario Kart race, where you were just you had a sinking feeling of like?
No, like I was having a great time. I had a great time.
Yeah, like I used to do those charity.
We had the positive couch.
We had the great couch.
But we were, well, actually, Miguel, this question I think actually came up when we were filming. We talked about this. I can't remember what you said. I said Overwatch, and then Joe was like, "Oh, it's too stressful." But I don't get stressed at playing Overwatch.
No.
So I can imagine for Joe, that's quite an intense pressure for 24 hours.
What is
I played for like 5 hours last night, so Dan, I could do that. I just go through all the characters.
Yeah.
Dan's how is each character?
Yeah.
There you go.
Dan's got a great video on his phone of when me, Joe, and Dan stayed behind in the office one day to do competitive placements in Overwatch, and we finished our 10th game.
Yeah.
So that's when everyone gets placed into their divisions.
And it was a mixed all session. I think we were probably like
a couple wins, four wins, couple
yeah, 5 and 5, 4 and 6.
Yeah. So at the end of those games, everyone gets placed. So I think like Dan was filming his placement. So we're all sitting at our different desks. So I got placed platinum.
So you can only see my TV, and you can see this number slowly ticking up.
Dan gets placed gold, and then you just hear from the other side of the desk, "Fuck!
Oh fuck!
Yeah. Oh fuck!" So, all right,
and we're all like, "How'd you do, Joe?" Like really awkward. He can get quite stressed playing.
He does get stressed playing.
But it's good. Gives us an edge.
He does. You want that from your Roadhog? What would you play for 24 hours?
That's a really good question. I really like the idea of doing a different Overwatch character.
That would liven it up. An hour is one character, ain't much. Then you get a bit of a...
I think it's better to do a narrative game for your own sanity.
Well, see, that's...
Because we were doing the same races over and over again, and Overwatch would be the same maps, the same
over
characters.
And over again. But I was just thinking, you need
a really
like a...
good one there.
You need a really good narrative game.
A good narrative, like a good narrative.
That lasts
Breath of the Wild would be amazing. Absolutely. I could do that accidentally, play 24 hours straight. Yeah.
I don't know, maybe like... I could go back and play like Dragon Age for 24 hours.
Yeah, big,
but like
big,
you know, big sprawling thing where you go and you. And then I don't know, because that's quite like, again, that's
what's
like,
the game you would hate to play for 24 hours?
Ooh, that's a good one. What games have I really hated in the last year?
That's just rubbish games. Oh my, that's a different feature.
No, but even like a good game, like I'd really hate to play a game like Little Nightmares or Inside. Or
it's
like,
just so small.
Like
you'd have to like play so many times. Though.
And you'd be going over the same.
I couldn't do Rainbow Six Siege for 24 hours. I just get too impatient.
It's gone in.
I get impatient playing Rocket League. Like, let me boost.
We should actually play Siege again because they've changed a lot of the operators.
Like,
they've been buffed and nerfed and stuff.
We should actually. Like, I think we all still have our discs.
Glaz, the sniper I used to play as, now has an infrared sensor, which is brilliant for a sniper.
Damn. Anyway. Yeah, we should play. We used to love playing.
Thank you, Miguel.
This is an email from Hugo, and this one cracked me up so much, so I had to include it. Also, on the topic of our 24-hour Mario Kart challenge, he says, "Hello, folks from IGN UK. My name is Hugo. I'm from Brazil, but I go to college in the US.
Two Brazilians. Feedback section. What?
I love you guys' sense of humor, and I think that, except the time y'all were hungover, nothing shows that better than the 24-hour Mario Kart 8 Deluxe video."
It's raw.
Basically raw, raw, unfiltered. As I watched Rory brag about his skills in the video and constantly do a thumbs up with his hands,
Oh, this is a new one, isn't it? I got this.
I notice how uncharacteristically long and skinny his thumbs are, which freaked me out. So, with that in mind, are you guys self-conscious about any of your body parts that you think are weird in any way?
What? Wait. First of all, can I look at your thumbs, please?
Firstly, Rory wasn't, but he fucking well is now, isn't he? Hugo. Jesus, mate.
No, I have very large hands.
Oh, you do?
Like, I have absurdly large hands.
This is a moment.
Same.
We all have the same size hands, don't we?
Oh, it's like Mark when he thinks he has a wide foot. Oh, I have an absurdly large hands. He does, average. Oh, I was always told that I have absurdly large, skinny hands.
Can we play piano, guys? Maybe we should.
Yeah, I can
do
an octave and a half, me.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's because I self-taught piano, and then when I went to a teacher, like after playing by myself for like 3 years, they were like, your fingers are so long that you're reaching notes that
probably be
you
the best in the
be
country.
Able to do. Probably be the best.
Nice.
I said, I'm not a professional.
You play well, should
they
be,
said,
right?
Oh my God, if he hits that key at that velocity, he's going to be
He's
going to
do a B sharp. Are you self-conscious about anything?
Any part of my body?
I'm not doing this.
I'm self-conscious about my wrists.
Are you?
Yeah,
I think
they're too thin and skinny. I think they don't fit with the rest
you
of my body.
You do not have skinny wrists, mate.
There's nothing
wrists.
Wrong with your little girly wrists.
Oh, God. I think your little bitch wrists are fine.
My best friend.
Never noticed them.
Don't worry, pussy wrist. It's fine.
My best friend doesn't have. You see this little lump
on
your wrist.
Yeah.
She doesn't have
what
it.
What is bone?
So literally, if you look at her hands, when you draw hands as a kid, you kind of just draw an arm and then it goes straight into hand and it doesn't do the in and out bit.
Yeah.
Like hers, it's just flat. It's
is
like,
your friend
it just
Rayman?
Goes like that.
Is it Rayman?
It's not connected to her body. It's just a floating
weird
nub.
Floating hands. It's weird. She's French.
It's really weird. Sometimes she just jumps in the air and like helicopters down.
Right.
That is weird. Dan, nothing?
No. Oh, too many for fucking end of a podcast, isn't it?
So is there anything that you're confident about with your body?
No.
You have really nice hair, Creeper.
Good. Let's hope that doesn't go. Otherwise, I'm fucked, Hugo. Thank you for your email, Hugo. We'll probably think about that for the rest of the month.
Yeah.
That's good. Thank you very much for listening to this week's podcast. Now, next week's podcast is going to be an absolute belter.
Ooh. I mean, not as good as...
Not as good as this. Yeah. Obviously, it could be promoted to banger status. I think that's something we retrospectively confer.
Okay.
I think it's going to be a belter, and then retroactively could be a banger. It's going to be an Alien special. Alien Covenant's out next week, and on the show we have us, obviously, that's why you come. But Ridley Scott.
Ridley Diddley!
Billy Crudup, Catherine Waterston, and Michael Fassbender.
Oh,
all
my
on this,
God.
All on this podcast.
Lineup. That's
amazing.
How
are they fitting in here?
Yeah.
Are we getting
in? No, we're going to ask Michael Fassbender, are you self-conscious about anything on your body? And he's going to go, no, look at me. Look at the state of me. I'm brilliant. Okay, thank you very much for listening to this week's podcast. We'll see you next week.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Hey there, this is Justin Bartha. I made a funny new podcast, King of the Egg Cream. It has the greatest cast in the history of podcasts with actors like Louis Black.
I'm torn by my feelings for two women.
Bobby Cannavale.
You can eat it, or if someone hits you, you can put it on your cut.
Melanie Lynskey.
I wonder what these marvelous things are that look just like boiled chicken feet.
Jason Ritter.
I can break things and pick locks and kill people.
Michael Stuhlbarg.
The whole point is to inspire people that they should make themselves better.
Ari Grainer.
No, don't whet its appetite. What are you, an idiot?
Me, Justin Bartha.
That's not just any egg cream, that's a Lemke's special.
And all narrated by the hilarious Richard Kind.
This is the story of Harry Dalowitz. And how he rose from nothing to become New York's King of the Egg Cream.
So if you like funny true stories, come listen to King of the Egg Cream, available wherever you get your podcasts.